AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you're having a good morning. You know, I was thinking about different passages of Scripture for today and things that we need to be reminded of. My heart goes back to Hebrews chapter 5 so often, where the writer of Hebrews is saying to his listeners — Hebrews was probably preached and then put into writing form or written form — but he was talking to his audience, and he says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, the ABCs of the Christian life, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant, he's a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Listen, in the Christian life, we are born into it. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so he compared spiritual birth to physical birth. And Nicodemus didn't get it. Obviously, he said, born again? How can a man go into his mother's womb a second time? He can't do that and be born. He was just thinking in terms of the physical. But Jesus was using the physical to teach the spiritual, that spiritual truth. And so I remember when I was born again, I was a senior in high school, January of 1980. That's when I asked the Lord, and I prayed and asked him to save me. And he did. I called upon his name and he saved me, just like you promised. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I prayed for the Lord to save me. He saved me. My life began to change. But I was a babe. I didn't know anything. And I didn't come from a background of reading the Bible and understanding a lot of doctrine. I mean, I knew certain things. I knew that Jesus was God. I knew he died on the cross for my sins. I knew he rose again from the dead. I didn't doubt any of those things. They were all just kind of facts and figures in my head. But that night, as a 17-year-old high school senior, they became real in my heart. But I had to learn. I was a baby, and I had to learn. And every infant, in the physical and in the spiritual realm, you start off with milk. The Bible tells us, 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. And so from milk, you go to solid food. So my little youngest grandson, Drew, he's just started not too long ago, a few months ago. He's a year old, but he went from milk only to solid food. And, then you go from solid food to meat, and you're able to eat what mom puts on the table for the whole family. You don't have to have a special, here you have this baby food, which is nasty stuff, but it seems like little kids like it. But the writer of Hebrews is making the point to these people. It says, listen, you've been saved long enough to be able to know the difference. You ought to be at a higher level. For by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you're not teachers. You got to go back to, remedial school, and you got to learn the ABCs all over again, because you haven't grown. You're still on the bottle. It's okay to be on the bottle when you're a newborn babe, but it's not okay to be on the bottle years down the road. Something's seriously wrong if you're still in diapers, you're still on the bottle, and that's what he was chastising them for. Hey, you ought to be teachers, but I'm having to teach you. We're going back to the first grade, the ABCs of the Christian life, and you need milk and not solid food. But then when he says this, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good, kalos, K-A-L-O-S, and evil, kakos, K-A-K-O-S. Kalos and kakos in the Greek. What I always marvel at that is how they're so close together, just one letter apart. What's the difference between kalos and kakos, good and evil? Well, those are poles apart, good and evil. But in the Greek, and in the Greek word, it's just one letter. And that's how the devil works. He works to deceive by giving us something that seems right, but it's not right. He is a liar and the father of lies. And how does he get us to believe his lies? By bringing them so close to the truth. I shared Sunday in my message, Toxic Empathy versus True Love, I shared about the aviation 1 in 60 rule. And in aviation, it says if you're 1 degree off your flight plan, which is really, really minor, 1 degree off, for every 60 miles you travel, you will be a mile off your destination. And so the longer you go, I mean, the more miles you're off. And so I use the illustration about if you were going to fly from Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport to Hawaii, to Maui. It's the difference, just 1 degree off, that's the difference between landing at the airport or crashing in the ocean. And that's how the devil works. He gets us just 1 degree off, and then, you know, as we keep going down that road, all of a sudden we see, man, we are way far from what is good. And so as we spend time in the Word of God, we're able to sense, we can have our senses trained because we practice with the Word, study to show yourself approved as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of truth. And the more time we spend with the Lord, the more time we spend in His Word, the more time we let His Word, as it says in Colossians 3, richly dwell within us, then we're able to discern, this is good, this is evil. Something's not right with this. You hear something and you say, that doesn't sound right. Your senses, we have that little phrase with Spider-Man, your spidey senses, you know, they go off and they just say, something's not right here. And that's what happens when you're immersed and when you're feeding on the Word of God and when you have grown past the milk to solid food. Then you're able to hear something and you say, wait a minute, that is not right. Now, we have the issue that is popping up again in our country, the issue of socialism. And we have the people on the left telling us that, you know, socialism is wrong. But let me tell you something that's wonderful. That's democratic socialism. Socialism and communism are really the same thing, but now they have this new category. It's democratic socialism. And so New York City elects a Muslim socialist, Zoran Mandami, and he is going to bring free buses and free childcare and let the good times roll. I'm going to tax the rich. The rich are going to pay their fair share. Funny, Bill Maher, who is the liberal atheist, he said on his program, he was talking about tax day and how he pays 60% in taxes. This is what he had to say.
And finally, new rule, someone has to explain the American economy to me. I know I've said this before. I still don't get it. Last week was tax day, and as usual, because HBO is so generous, and I'm sure so will be the new owners, I paid to the government, if you add in state tax, local sales, property fees, Obamacare, probably almost 60% of what I earn. That's a lot. And I still wouldn't mind if Bernie Sanders would stop saying the rich don't pay taxes. And while I'm sure the super rich with their army of accountants and corporate loopholes get away with murder, us regular rich people pay a ton of taxes. The top 10% pay 72% of all federal income taxes, and the bottom half, 3%. The democratic socialists talk about socialism like we don't already have a lot. Social Security, unemployment, Medicare, nutritional assistance, Medicaid, Obamacare, disability, housing subsidies. Again, not against it. Just the same question. How can you be soaking the rich and failing the poor so badly? But here's the truth. You're not going to get health care to these people by threatening to tax and eat the rich. You raise billionaires' taxes, they just leave the state. Or they leave the country. Or in some cases, the planet.
And he showed a picture of Elon Musk. But he's exactly right. So you keep coming after the rich, and they're not paying their fair share. I think we'd all agree 60% is a lot. But this idea, you know, of socialism, that this is a good thing. Christians should be for this because it is helping poor people, and it is, you know, giving to people that are in need and providing for people that are underprivileged or disadvantaged. Well, that's fine to do that, but that has to be voluntary. In Acts chapter 2, they were doing that, but nobody was demanding that. They were doing that voluntarily. And socialism, whether it's socialism, communism, or democratic socialism, it's all the same. You force people. You take it from people. This is what you're going to like it. You're going to own nothing, and you're going to like it. That's the attitude. Now, Zoran Mandani, he ran for mayor of New York City, the largest city in the world, a huge, gigantic, multi-billion dollar budget, I think $120 billion or something like that. But he says there's a budget crisis. And you know all the free stuff I told you that I was going to give you? Well, we got a problem because we don't have enough money. This is what he had to say just yesterday.
New York City faces a budget crisis of a historic magnitude. We inherited a deficit larger than any since the Great Recession. Years of mismanagement and chronic underbudgeting, alongside a structural imbalance between what New York City sends to the state and what we receive in return, have taken a toll. We cannot close this deficit with savings alone. We need new revenue, and we need a structural reset in our relationship with the state. That is the only way to meet our legal obligation to pass a balanced budget, and to do so without imposing a financial burden onto the backs of working people. I'm glad to partner with Speaker Menin as we call upon Albany and deliver a balanced budget. Together, we are extending the executive budget deadline from this coming Friday until May 12th, because a crisis of this scale cannot be solved without state action.
Okay, so we have a tremendous budget deficit, and we have to have new revenue. Isn't it interesting? We're finding all this corruption, fraud, abuse, waste in these other cities, Minnesota, the fraud capital, maybe second only to California. You know, you look at where the money is going and what are they doing with it. Just fraud, waste, and abuse. You could raise a lot of money that way because you'd cut all that wasteful spending. But they don't want to do that. They immediately go to, we need more taxes, and we have to create new revenue. It's mind-blowing to me. I look at my own finances, and you know, you start looking immediately, if you're having a financial problem, you look to see what can we cut. Here's how much money we have coming in, so we got too much going out the door. Well, let's cut back on our spending. That's the first thing you look at. Not if you're in politics, you don't look at that. You know, Zoran Mandani, he wants to build a $29-30 million grocery store that will be subsidized by the government and provide milk and eggs and bread for cheaper. It's going to be this great grocery store. Yeah, it costs 10 times more than a grocery store should, and it'll be ready in 2029. It's just unbelievable. Anything and everything the government touches, it's more expensive than it needs to be, and it doesn't run right. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about discernment. Hebrews 5:14, solid food, the meat of the Word of God, is for the mature who, because of practice, habit, use, have their senses trained. Gymnazo is the Greek word there for trained. It means literally means to exercise naked. It's kind of weird and, you know, gross when you think about it, how they did that at the gym during the first century, but that's how the Greeks did it. But it's a good word for spiritually. We have to spend time with the Lord. We have to have our habit of seeking His face, and we exercise with Him, so to speak, naked. No pretense. We're not trying to put lipstick on a pig. We're open and honest before the Lord. As the psalm says in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. He's a safe place where you can be honest. You can let your hair down, so to speak. You don't have to try and win Him over with, presenting yourself in the best light, so to speak. You're just honest. You're exercising naked before the Lord so that we can discern and be able to tell. Discernment is the ability to weigh things in the balance, discern what is good, kalos, and what is evil, kakos. And we have a generation that can't discern good and evil. We have so many Christians, genuine born-again Christians, but they're on milk. And they haven't grown. They're not spending time in the Word of God. And they're so easily deceived. They're so easily duped. And I was thinking this morning driving in how when I was a kid growing up, I grew up in California, in Los Altos, California, which is fairly close to San Jose and Stanford and those places there. But little kids were getting kidnapped. And, terrible, horrible things done to them. And how were they getting lured into the car? Come here, little boy. Come here, little girl. I want to give you some candy. And because kids tend to be very trusting just by nature, they can be easily deceived. And that's what the Lord is saying. Hey, do not be deceived. We need to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves, shrewd, wise, to know what the enemy is doing around us, and then innocent as doves, and our hearts are pure before the Lord. Take away the dross from the silver, the Bible says, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. And listen, in our time with the Lord, we need to say, as David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any evil, hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we want to be able to discern good and evil. And we want our senses to be trained so that when something comes into our ears, when we see something on the screen, we're able to say, that doesn't sound right. Something's not right about that. That is discernment, where you can just sense this is not right. Now, we had talked about Zohran Mandani, the Muslim socialist. When you hear about socialism, you just know immediately. I mean, you don't have to be a whiz bang to know this doesn't work. It has never worked. It just brings misery to people's lives. I ran across a meme. I don't know if I can find it, but it was really good. And it just said, you know, here's the deal with socialism. Here it is. Socialism is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. And that was a quote by Winston Churchill. So true. And so when people are promising, these politicians are promising all this stuff, hey, we're going to stick it to the rich, and you guys, you working class, I'm for you, and I'm going to get you free buses and free childcare, and you're going to buy groceries at, you know, half price or whatever he says, you know, all these reduced price grocery store. That's all a lie. And what do we have? 4 months into this guy's mayorship, I think it's called mayorship. Anyway, his leadership as mayor, and he's already, hey, we're in a budget crisis. Things are worse than I thought. I'm not going to be able to give you all the free stuff. Gee, what a shocker. Yeah, that stuff never works, and people fall for it time and time and time again. We need to be able to discern good and evil. Now, I talked yesterday about toxic empathy. And that's how a lot of Christians get deceived. We get looped into this idea that if you really cared about people, you'd be supportive of them. And if they are, you know, transgender, you wouldn't call them out. You would just support them and listen to them and hear their stories. If they've had an abortion, you would just support them in their abortion. You'd hold their hand and tell them how much God loves them as they're murdering their unborn child. I mean, it's just so twisted and so perverted because, as we said, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, true love, agape love, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Now, we had a lady, Professor Jessica Waters. She's a legal scholar and educator at American University in Washington, D.C. She specializes in reproductive rights, law rights and law and policy associated with that. She's basically an abortion lawyer. So she was appearing before Congress, and Brandon Gill was questioning her, and he was exposing the fact that she supports and is all for reproductive health care. That's what they call it. But what that actually is, it's the brutal murder by dismemberment of the innocent unborn. And the left wants to call that reproductive health care. Well, it's definitely not health care for the baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, because that baby is going to be ripped to shreds. And it is so barbaric. It is so evil. And he stuck it back in her face. This is what you advocate for. Listen to him questioning her.
You're an advocate for abortion, for her abortion policy. What's your favorite type of abortion?
I am an advocate for patients having access to the full realm of reproductive health care.
But do you have a preferred method of abortion that you like?
I do not.
Let me read through a couple different methods, and I want to get your take on how much you like these. The first type is called a suction abortion. This is when the cervix is dilated and a strong suction, 29 times the power of a household vacuum cleaner, tears the baby's body apart and sucks it through the hose into a container. Do you prefer that method?
I stand by my former testimony.
That sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? Sounds pretty gruesome.
She won't answer.
Do you agree? It does to me.
I stand by how I answered your question fully and accurately.
Okay, what about this one? This one is called dilation and curettage. After dilation of the cervix, a sharp looped knife is inserted into the uterus. The baby's body is cut into pieces and extracted, often by suction. Do you prefer that method?
What I believe we are here to talk about today is the FACE Act. We are not here to talk about the
legality. I'm asking you, you're a pro-abortion
advocate.
I'm asking if you prefer the dilation and curettage method.
I am an access to reproductive health care advocate.
You don't want to talk about abortion itself. Why is that?
I would prefer to talk about the reason that the committee called the hearing.
Is it because it's uncomfortable to talk about?
I would prefer
it should
to,
be uncomfortable.
I would prefer, if you would let me finish my statement, to talk about the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which is
We're
what I was
about
asked
what,
to come
about. What that
here
access gets. How about this one? It's called dilation and evacuation. Forceps are inserted into the uterus, grabbing and twisting the baby's body to dismember him or her. If the head is too large, it must be crushed in order to remove it. Do you prefer that method?
I would prefer to talk about the reason the hearing was called and the basis of my expert testimony.
It's uncomfortable to hear this, isn't it? It is. I think it is, because it's barbaric and evil. How about?
Yeah, because it's barbaric and evil. You could watch that lady, if you watch it online, she's kind of squirming, this Professor Jessica Waters. I mean, what kind of a person supports that? You know, it's one thing to say, well, I think a woman ought to have a right to choose. Well, that sounds good. I mean, we should all be for a woman's right to choose. But choose to do what? Choose to rip her baby apart? Nobody has the right to do that. I remember what Adrian Rogers said about that. He said, you know, pro-choice is no choice. And he said, you know, once you get pregnant, then you have a choice, and here's your only choice. Am I going to have a live baby or a dead baby? Because you can't choose the consequences. You chose to have sex, and you, outside of marriage, you know, as I said yesterday, rape is less than 1% of all the abortions. The over a million abortions, Guttmacher said, in America in 2025, well, less than 1% are from rape. So people who go to, well, what about this rape victim? Well, okay, let's put that aside for a second. Let's talk about the 99% plus that are not as a result of incest or rape, that are just for convenience. What about those? And it is the most barbaric, the most brutal, the most evil thing that a person can imagine. And Brandon Gill, hats off to him for bringing that to the forefront. This is what you're advocating for. What kind of a person could advocate for that? It is unbelievable. I still remember listening to Focus on the Family, James Dobson program, where he's talking about abortion. This is probably 40 years ago. He's talking about abortion, and he is interviewing this woman who is involved in these abortions as the nurse to this doctor. And she said, we were performing an abortion, and things were not going right, and it was just awful, and it was obvious they were ripping this baby apart. The baby was too big, if I remember correctly. And she said, in the midst of all that they were going through, she looked up at the doctor and she said this, are we going to hell? Are we going to hell? It just hit her like a truck. This is what we're doing. This is we do this for a living. Rip babies apart in their mother's womb. Can there be a worse, more evil position or a profession than that and a job? That's what you're doing for a living? Good night. Are we going to hell? Yes, you are going to hell. But here's the good news. You don't have to go to hell, and you don't have to keep doing that. You can repent. You can cry out to God for mercy. You know, the reason that destruction came upon Jerusalem in under Babylon, you know, they were subjugated to Babylon in 605, and then Babylon came after them again in 597, and then Babylon came after them again in 5, it besieged the city in 586 BC and destroyed it, and broke down the wall and destroyed Solomon's temple. And the reason that that came about had to do with the child sacrifices. Manasseh, who was king for so many decades, he made his sons pass through the fire. And what that was is the false god Chemosh or Molech, both of them the same in terms of the sacrifices. They would have, if you ever look online, you can see this statue, this idol with the hands stretched out, and they would put the babies in the hands of this false god, and they would have a fire that would burn in the belly. And they would stoke the fire very, very hot and then put the baby in as a burnt offering to this false god. And the Lord looked at that and said, judgment is coming on you for that. It is so wicked and so horrific. And we do it by the millions in America. And people like this Jessica Waters advocate for that. She doesn't want to hear what is actually going on. She just wants to call it reproductive health care because it sounds so much more palatable. Hey, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Are your senses trained to discern good and evil? Listen, when it comes to voting, don't ever vote for somebody that is for the brutal murder by dismemberment of the innocent unborn. Don't vote for somebody that is for biological men playing in women's sports, that is for the insanity of transgenderism that destroys lives. I mean, if you love somebody, you will tell them the truth. If you hate somebody, you will lie to them. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think, well, if you think you're a boy, I think that's probably good for you. When it's obvious that person is not a boy, that person is not a male, that person is a female, or vice versa. Tell people the truth. Don't lie to them. It is not loving to lie to another person. It is loving to tell them the truth. And the greatest truth you can tell them is the truth that no matter what they've done, no matter how many abortions, no matter how much sexual immorality, they can be washed white as snow if they will come to Jesus in repentance and faith. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Are you weary and heavy laden, laid down with the weight of your sin? Come to him. He'll receive you. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you and make you new. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Let me talk to you about Activate Summit 2026. I've been mentioning this a lot on the program, but it's a great conference coming up when? July 16th through the 18th in Tupelo, Mississippi at the Cadence Bank Conference Center, a really nice conference center there in Tupelo. And it's a conference for the whole family. You know, there are not very many conferences like that, but this is a conference like that. They have tracks for adults and tracks for kids. And children 5 years and under, they come free. And there will be vendors there and partners. And we're going to talk about from roots to fruit. We're going to talk about how to build into your family, how to be the husband and the wife, the mom, the dad that God wants you to be, how to be the child that God wants you to be. And we're going to talk about some key subjects related to Jessica Peck is going to be talking about technology. How do you raise your kids in an age of technology? I didn't have that when I was raising my kids because things weren't the way they are today. And, you know, parents have to navigate smartphones and they have to navigate social media and all this stuff with video games and things like that. So it is tough. And you know, whether you're going to send your kid to public school or private school or homeschool and all those things. And so I encourage you to check it out. Go to afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit. And we're going to have a great time, July 16th, 17th, and 18th. And Debbie and I will be there, and I'll be presenting and meeting folks on the that Friday night, the 17th, as we have that special get-together. Look forward to seeing you there. And so check it out, afa.net/summit. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment about something we've been talking about, we're talking about discernment, discerning good and evil. And it's real easy to tell the difference between 12 noon and 12 midnight. But it's not so easy to just naturally know the difference between 12 noon and 1 p.m. And so we need to have our senses trained because the devil doesn't come at you, doesn't come at me with the choice between 12 noon and 12 midnight. That would be very obvious. He's not just a liar among many liars. He's a master liar. He's the father of lies. And the reason his lies are so often believed is because they sound a lot like the truth. They sound good to us. It makes sense to us. And you know, if you really loved somebody, you would support them. And if they think they're, you know, homosexual, you would support them in that. You would go to their wedding and you would be there cheering for them because you would show them how much you love them. And in reality, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. You can't go and rejoice. You can't rejoice in somebody's sin. That would be wrong. The Lord doesn't rejoice in our sin. He loves us, but he sure doesn't love our sin. And so he's not going to rejoice in that. I had a guy tell me one time, this is so true. He said, notice how Jesus dealt with the tax collectors and the prostitutes. They would come to him. And they felt like they could come to him, not holding on to sin, but come to him weeping over their sin. And this guy told me, Tim Martindale, who's a doctor in the Waco area today, he was further along, much further along in the Lord when I was in college. But he said, Jesus didn't go to them. He didn't go to the houses of ill repute. The prostitutes came to Jesus. He didn't come where they were. You know, the father of the prodigal son didn't go to the pigsty. The prodigal left the pigsty and came back to his father. So the Lord doesn't change the requirements to facilitate us. He doesn't make it hard for us to come back, but he's not going to run to the pigsty. You have to come to your senses and leave the pigsty. And when you do, and when you're even a long way off, the Father will run to you. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. And we have Iris on the line from Texas. Iris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, thank you for sharing the truth and love concerning baby killing. That's what abortion is, and we both know that. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for playing that clip from Josh Howell. I've been a volunteer at my local center for 20 years and a fundraiser and an intercessor. And I want to also, it brought to my remembrance Abby Johnson, who could not do this anymore. And it changed her life and probably thousands of others. And I want to find a way to replay your broadcast. I'm sure it's a podcast, so I can play to my support group when it meets next Tuesday. Thank you again, and may this message go out loud and clear, because as Freda Lindsay said many, many years ago, this is America's Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It really is. Thank you, Iris. I appreciate that so much. It really is, and it is so horrific, and we try and clean it up and make it sound like it's, as I said, like a woman's right to choose, and you know, everybody should be for that, and it is evil with a capital E-V-I-L. The Lord says in Psalm 106, it says, they did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them. He's talking about when they went into the promised land. But they mingled with the nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. And they shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with the blood. That's what is happening and has been happening for a long time in America, and God has been patient. But God's patience does not last forever. We read that in Daniel chapter 5 when the handwriting came on the wall for Belshazzar, the king, and scared him to death and wrote the words, "Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. You are done, pal. God's patience is done with you." And he died that night because the Lord said, enough. And so God is marvelously patient, and we appreciate that. He's the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. That means he's long in the nose. You know, the Hebrews recognize that when an animal would get agitated, you could tell by his face, by his nose. What do we see with bulls? When bulls are getting ready to go off on you, they start snorting. And you can see it in their nose and their nostrils start flaring. And when someone gets angry, that's how it shows up. Well, God is long in the nose. He is very, very patient, but that doesn't last forever. Adrian Rogers said, and this is such a poignant point, he said that the dam, the waters of God's wrath, his righteous wrath are furiously beating against the dam of his mercy. And one day that mercy's going to give way to his righteous wrath. And what do we know that as? We know that as the tribulation period, the seals of wrath and the trumpets of wrath and the bowls of wrath. And God is a God who has indignation every single day. He is patient with us. He's giving us time to repent, but his patience will not and does not last forever. So I thank you for that, Iris. God bless you. Yeah, you can go. We have a Real Truth for Today YouTube page that has all this on video, and you can pick up this program from today. Well, we have Mary on the line from Tennessee. Mary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, I was just calling in on the issue you're addressing about abortion. My daughter and I had gone to Planned Parenthood for what we thought was a ultrasound exam because they had told her previously in the doctors that she couldn't become pregnant. However, they tried to slip her a pill without her knowledge or consent of what they were doing. I brought it to her attention, and we left there quickly. But a lot of this is done against coercion and manipulation and control. It's not done in the honest way at all.
That's just sickening. That's awful. Yeah. Well, how long ago was that?
That was a few years ago. Her oldest is 11 or 12, somewhere like that. So about that many years ago when she was pregnant with the first one. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you got to be, those places are, I mean, that's like walking into the devil's lair there. I mean, that's all they do. They exist to kill defenseless, innocent babies, and to deceive women in crisis. They don't tell them the truth. You know, Abby Johnson said, as Iris pointed out, Abby Johnson, who had the movie Unplanned about her life, she said, the incentive was for us to have that person have an abortion. We had financial incentive for that. And so, you know, what do you think we're going to do? Counsel them to not have an abortion? No. We're going to minimize the risks and the problems. Oh, this will take care of all your problems, and you can leave here, and then you're done with it. You know, all that kind of stuff. But a woman who's had an abortion knows you're not done with that. You might have serious physical problems, but the spiritual, psychological, emotional problems are going to follow you. And you're going to have to really do a lot of work with the Lord to get that guilt and shame off your heart because of what you did. So I appreciate you calling in on that, and God bless you, my friend. Well, we have Wayne on the line from Kansas. Wayne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you. I wanted to say that I love the way that you are letting people know that no matter what they've done, if they return the way the prodigal son did, they'll find a father with open arms.
Mm-hmm.
But my question for you is, have you noticed that Jesus told a story of salvation before the cross and there's no blood atonement? How could that be?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Jesus told the salvation of the prodigal son story about the son being forgiven and completely restored simply by returning in repentance and submission to the Father, but he did not put the required blood atonement in the story.
Yes. Well, because he told that story for the Pharisees. The backdrop of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. It says, now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And so that was the backdrop. The prodigal son story is really for the Pharisees to say, you guys, you hate these people that are coming from the pigsty, but you're here and you don't love the Father. You're in the house, so to speak, but your heart is not right. You're not coming. You're not rejoicing. You should be rejoicing that these people are coming to their senses, but you're not. So I don't think it was necessarily, to teach salvation without the cross. That wasn't the point of it. It's teaching repentance, because coming to your senses and leaving the pigsty is repentance. And it's to show that just because you're religious, just because you're in the house, so to speak, doesn't mean you're right with the Father. And that was the purpose of what he said. I like what John MacArthur said in his commentary on Luke 15. He said, the prodigal son story, it ends with it being unclear what happened. The father goes out, leaves the party, comes to his son, and he says, son, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours, but we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. And there's no mention of what did the son do with that. Did he say, okay, dad, and come into the party? The inference is it's open. How are you going to respond to this? And John MacArthur, I thought it was masterful how he said, well, we see how they responded to it. They hated him for it, and they nailed him to a tree for it. It would be as if the elder brother picks up a piece of wood and beats his father to death. That's how they responded to it. They were so entrenched in their own self-righteousness. They hated the elder brother or the other brother, and they really hated the father. They just wanted, hey, why didn't you throw a party so I could have fun with my friends? And it was all about me and mine, and it had really no love for the father. And so he told that story to expose them. This is what's really in your heart. And the reason that the prodigals, the tax collectors and sinners, the people you say are riffraff, they're recognizing their sinfulness, and they're turning from their sin, and they're turning to me. And so that is the point of the lost sheep, lost coin, and then lost son. And both of those sons were lost. One came to his senses and one did not. So I appreciate it, Wayne. Great question. Jim in San Diego, or in South Dakota, I'm sorry, we ran out of time. But you can always reach me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Well, Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Let me encourage you to spend time with the Lord, spend time in His Word. We will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. As you do that, and as you grow in your time with the Lord, you will learn, and God will bless you, and you will be able to discern what is good and what is evil. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.